Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome back to the Abundant Mystic, Week 7. My name is Edward Mills. I'm your host and the producer of this series, and I am so, so grateful and appreciative that you are here with us today. We have a wonderful week, a short week. Today we have Bill Bauman, and of course it is the Thanksgiving week here in the United States, so we'll be taking Thursday off. I'm so glad that you're here joining us even on this special holiday week. What a wonderful time to connect in this field of abundance and be really conscious of how we are so blessed and all that we have to give thanks for in our lives. So let's go ahead and create a space with the intention of having gratitude and appreciation be a big part of the field of abundance that we are co-creating here today and as we move through this Abundant Mystic series. So as we come together, and if it's comfortable, close our eyes for just this moment or two while we get ready and come into presence so that we can really take in the wisdom, the insights, the vibration, the energy that Bill Bauman will be bringing to us in just a moment. Let's really focus on the gratitude, the appreciation, the blessings that are already here. Just feel into the beauty, the blessing, the abundance that is already here for you, that life has already blessed you with. And as you breathe in, really take in that beauty. And as you release the breath, release any resistance, release any hesitation, release that tension that holds you back from abundance. And just allow yourself to come even more present, even more into this moment, into this container that we are creating with people from all around the world, all of these abundant mystics coming together to support each other as we all step into this space more fully where we can create lives of personal prosperity while serving the highest good of all. Feel how you're being supported by this circle, even as you come and bring your energy and support the rest of us. It is a beautiful cycle of support, giving and receiving as we come together in this moment. Beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you all so much. It is my deep, deep pleasure and my honor to be here with you and to be bringing you all of these wonderful guides and mentors. And I am so, so, so excited today to have Bill Bauman here. And I want to let you know we would love to hear from you, love, 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 as Bill is speaking, to hear from you, hear your thoughts, your questions, your comments, your insights, your ahas. You can share them on the Yes page, which is at theabundantmystic.com/yes. And if you scroll down, you'll see the Facebook comment section there. If you would rather share in private, then you can just use the webcast chat box there, and I will see that there. And then as much time as we have, I will read your comments, your questions, and we will get those on the air. But it's a great, great, great way for you to really integrate the work that you're doing and what you're learning. And it's also a great way for you to share so that others can benefit from your insights. Beautiful. Thank you. Let's go ahead and get Bill Bauman on here. I am so excited. I'm going to read his official bio. And then I'm going to share just a little bit more about him that's just a personal connection. So Bill Bauman is one of the simplest people you'll ever meet. He just is. From his core selflessness, he offers us an expansive and inspired vision and lovingly serves our personal growth. He's the voice of pure truth, one that is sourced beyond beliefs, complexities, or codes of conduct. And through decades of inspiring presentations, seminars, workshops, classes, retreats, and counseling, he's brought a dynamic message of hope and excitement about life's possibilities into our shared human consciousness. With a doctorate in counseling psychology, an MA in theology, and a bachelor's degree in philosophy, Bill embraces life from a broad perspective and expansive vision. He's served as a priest, psychologist, and spiritual leader for many decades, and he embraces a holistic perspective of what it means to be human. Dell's developed his own paradigm of complete human living that he calls the ultimate human, and he's a proven entrepreneur who's led 3 profitable private businesses, and he's also founded 2 nonprofit organizations. He's a celebrated leader. He's a member of the Transformational Leadership Council, along with Jack Canfield, Hal Dwoskin, John Gray, and so many more. And certainly, Bill has become a noted modern-day practical mystic, and his transformational mystical vision has touched and continues to touch thousands of people. And I just want to add that I've been in one of Bill's courses here for a few weeks. I just want to say how powerfully his presence has transformed me in my relationships and in my relationship with the divine and with love. And so it's a really, really a great honor, Bill, to have you here with us today on The Abundant Mystic. Welcome.
Oh, my goodness, Edward, thank you so much, and to you and to everybody here. I want to say, wow, I am delighted, I am honored, I am thrilled, and especially to all of you who are not just listening, but who are wrapped around my heart, wrapped around Edward's heart in that beautiful opening meditation that Edward led in our unity, in our togetherness. I'm looking forward to a remarkable, amazing time together. This to me is a moment. For some reason, I only say yes to certain things. I guess we all do come to think of it. But I said yes to this with no thought. My conscious mind wasn't even involved. Everything in me said, in effect, ooh, this is a perfect moment for all of us, myself included. So thank you, Edward, for inviting me. My goodness, that introduction was awesome and humbling. See, now I have to live up to it. Oh, no, what am I going to do? Thank you. I'm so delighted to be here and to share this sacred moment with everybody.
Thank you, Bill. And if you don't know Bill, for those of you on the call, you will come to learn just what a lightness you bring, Bill. It's a lightness, a humility. There's an energy, and I want to get to that first question about true abundance, but I just want to share something that happened last night on the call. As I was saying, my partner Michelle and I have been going through your relationship course, and I find that for me, that sometimes that energy that you become, it's almost like overwhelming. It sort of knocks me out of my body a little bit because you just embody it and transmit it so fully that it's like anything that's in the way in me sort of causes me to shut down a little bit. But then after the class, I feel so good. So it's interesting. It's like your transmission is kind of clearing the pipes, but while the pipes are clearing, it's almost like I have to be out of the way. So I go a little unconscious.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's beautifully described. Actually, I'm one of the few people around who consider it a great success when people fall asleep listening to me. Because it happens enough, and I would guess that about half of you will be experiencing, maybe not sleep, but just sort of going, I don't know, we call it unconscious or into another dimension, where, as you say, the human personality stuff or the active mind just gets out of the way just enough so that something else can happen. And that's what I love about this series, the Abundant Mystic, both in its abundance and its mysticism. Because to me, let me just say this a little bit to talk about myself. It's so all about me. Anyway, I guess through my life, I have decided, and this goes back to Edward's description of me in that class, that if I was silly enough to come here, why in the world would I do anything else but be here fully? And so over these last many, many years, I've just decided, or it was decided in me or through me or for me, it's just important to be everything I came here to be without exception, and to be that with whoever is around me with some sensitivity to, you know, their capacity to stand me. But it is, to me, it's all about all of us downloading and imbibing and expressing and sharing all the grace, all the wonder, all the divinity, all the light, all the blessings that happen to live in us. And so to say that one other way, and then I'll turn it back over to you, Edward, I'm having a wonderful time just bathing in and being in the fullness of whatever is this creation that I happen to be. And then the best part is I get to show up to moments like this, and I get to share that with you. And then we get to celebrate all of life and all of creation together. And to me, that's kind of the coolness of what being human is all about.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Bill. And it's going to naturally lead us into the way you define abundance. And that's normally the way I start all of these, but it's got a little sidetrack. So let's hear how you define true abundance.
Yes, I'd be glad to. Now, I have to tell you all, Edward warned me right before we started that he was going to start with that question. And inside I went, uh-oh, now they're going to see what a total fraud I am. So here's where I am with abundance. When I think of the word abundance, or when I think of the words law of attraction, but especially when I think of the word abundance, I think instantly of the endless light field of life. I think of boundless grace. I think of infinite blessings. I think of non-restrictive, not just abundance, but everythingness. So rather than starting with human abundance, financial abundance, security abundance, instead of starting there, I think I go for the big jugular. I go to that big mystical space where there's no such thing as limitation. I mean, where it just does not exist. The concept is not there. The reality is not there. All there is unlimited everythingness. And then if we can believe modern physics, then it's all about what we put our attention on, what we show up to, what we open to, what we give ourselves to happens. So if I give myself to that abundance, if I open to that endless light, if I let my cells be filled with that light that only knows how to create everythingness, if I just imbibe or digest or integrate grace, which is to me a fancy word for non-ending, unconditional, all-giving love. If I just open to all of what is the mystical creation, the mystical me, the mystical us, then the only thing that can happen, even if it takes a few steps to move through my human this or that, the only thing that can happen is that infinite abundance starts creeping in, sometimes slowly, sometimes very quickly, creeping into the three-dimensional me, creeping through my consciousness, my conscious, subconscious, unconscious mind, creeping through my energy field and moving and then getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And so I want to share with you a little conversation. See, Edward and I have been talking for the last 10 hours. No, it's not true, but for about 5 minutes before we started. And by the way, what a cool guy. I just told him I checked out his website last night. I never met Edward till just a few minutes ago, and I feel like I've lost something in life by not connecting with him earlier. Such a precious, precious, not just human being, but guide to so many of us. But one of the things I just briefly mentioned to him is that as a regular human trying to find prosperity, I was not successful. And I did all the right things. I mean, I read the right books, and I intended the right this's and that's. And I did my focusing and set up my objectives and my steps and all that. And besides, for me, those being boring, I've been really boring. But besides that, they just didn't work. So I kept looking at that for myself and saying, okay, Billy, what's your problem? As I saw so many other people doing. What's your problem? I remember as a little side story, I was, besides being a Catholic priest for a while, I was also a religious science minister for a while. And of course, you know, in religious science, the principles of abundance are it's a very strong kind of a thing. And I had, as a minister, person after person come to me and say, almost in tears, and sometimes deeply in tears, saying, I'm doing all the things that I'm supposed to do to be prosperous, and they're not working. So I really, for me and them, I started looking at the whole question, well, what is it? And of course, the assumption, the automatic assumption is, what am I doing wrong? And over a little bit of time, I discovered, you know what? I wasn't, and many people aren't, doing anything wrong. I was doing all the right things, but, and this is why it didn't work for me, but I was doing it in a more three-dimensional rather than a more mystical way. And once I got really clear, Bill, you're a mystic. I mean, really, go to the core of who you are. Who are you? You are a mystical dude. You are just a being, a person, a presence, whose soul soars into the ethers, whose heart is plugged into the infinite love, whose spirit will not be separated from infinity. And so I thought, well, if that's who I really am, how about I just give that a shot? How about if I bet the ranch of my humanness on the promise of my mystical nature? Gee, I never said that before. That was really cute. Anyway,
like that.
So what would happen? It's so good, I'll repeat it. So what would happen if I would bet the ranch of, like, prosperity, bet the ranch of love, bet the ranch of success, bet the ranch of any human ideal, bet it on my mystical nature? And I started doing that, and I discovered, and I'm oversimplifying here, and I'm taking a lot of years and making them sound like they happened overnight, which all good success stories kind of do. But
which perpetuates the myth that success happens overnight.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, so I discovered that, oh, wow, you know what? That happened. So is it okay if I lead us through just a section or two of my life here? Okay. Okay. And by the way, as you know, Edward, I can talk forever. It's a grave disability, so please interrupt me anytime here. But I think this might be helpful. So once I started doing that, I noticed, and this went on for probably 20 years, that I would do success and abundance, and then this is the ebb and flow story, by the way, and then that was the flow. Then the ebb was, all of a sudden I was down to no money, and then there'd be abundance, and all of a sudden I was down to under no money, and then abundance. And the insight was given me spiritually that this is the nature of the three-dimensional dualistic world. Ups and downs, ins and outs, ebbs and flows, summer and winter. And so I got really peaceful with my life being exactly like nature. There it was, spring, summer, fall, winter. And my wife and I just felt totally fine about that. And we thought, well, this is cool. This is really the way it's meant to be. And if we look at, you know, any culture's financial deal like us in the last, what, 5-6 years of economic downturn, it's the ebb as opposed to the flow. So once I got really peaceful with that, I had learned that, not just learned that lesson, but learned how to be in the flow without interpreting it as something's wrong, because I'm not at this peak place. Then once that was like in place, then all of a sudden I got pulled into a deeper place, a place of being and a place of non-being. But without going into that, because those aren't important at the moment. But the being where everything just is, instead of it even being up and down, ebb and flow. Everything just is. And then the non-being is equal to it being isness, it isn't. So it is and it isn't. So that's where Eastern religions talk about life is an illusion. Strict Buddhists would tend to say you don't really exist. But from there, from those spiritual states, came this new relationship with prosperity where it's just there. And so, ironically, I never think about prosperity from a human point of view. I simply, again, this is how I started, I simply be everything I am, and the prosperity just occurs. It just occurs because I'm living in the middle of the prosperous infinity and the endless light field and the abundant love that's always there. So I find for me, and this is maybe my ending sentence, I find for me it's about betting the ranch again, that if I am totally absorbed in the truth of my mystical nature, in the love of my mystical self, in the fullness, abundance, ultimacy, if you will, of everything that I am and everything that lives in me and through me, if I've like just surrendered totally to that, all the rest happens and abundance happens. And so, ironically, at this point, and as I say this, I'm not trying to talk anybody out of this approach, but I don't ever yearn for, seek for, go for anything. I just let my mystical self take total charge of it, and it works beautifully.
Wow, I really want to hear more about some of the ways that you're bringing your mystical self into this process. I know for me that several years ago, I taught a Law of Attraction course. Every first Saturday of the month, I would lead a circle on Law of Attraction for 5 years. And it got really frustrating because I saw all the people I was teaching or facilitating, they would have these miraculous attraction moments, and I was still stuck. You know, it wasn't working for me. And so to hear you speak about that transition that you made from a 3D approach to abundance and attraction to a mystical approach, it feels very similar. And I'd love to hear, like, what was a turning point for you where you really realized that you had to just let your mystical self, and what does that look like? Like, how is it different for you to be in relationship to that big abundance that you talk about from a mystical perspective versus being in relationship to it from a 3D human perspective?
Wow. You ask good questions, Edward. Very good. That's a wonderful question. First of all, I want to say, just in my own little perspective here, it seems to me that the Law of Attraction, first of all, I think it's a wonderful, exquisite, very wisdom-filled, with a big punch, principle and orientation. And so I think there, just like we can do everything, we can look at it in its three-dimensional reality, where we do all the things that you taught, and we can look at it in its mystical reality. It's actually a big mystical truth. To me, the Law of Attraction is primarily a big-time divine mystical truth. To me, the nature of creation itself is to keep creating itself anew, to keep creating itself in bigger, more abundant ways. If we look just at that part of creation that is the universe with its dark energy and dark matter, almost three-fourths of the universe is dark energy, which is expansive. Dark energy is always moving the universe to be more, to expand, to find its endlessness and its abundance, its fullness, whereas the dark matter, which is not quite one-fourth, is that sort of contracting one, that's the stabilizing principle, if you will, that keeps the universe from running out of control, but kind of keeps it balanced, if you will. So just like the universe, all creation is, and we are, each of us is always, just by our nature, by being a part of creation, we are abundant and we are becoming more and more and more abundant in a way that helps ground that abundance. So one of my thoughts today is, if I have a gift to offer us, I think the real gift is to take our shared mystical light and abundance. That abundance that's way beyond a three-dimensional definition or compartmentalization or structuring. And if you will, download that, or you used another word that I, it was a wonderful word, transmit that into our heart and from our heart down into our human core, down into our lower chakras, down into our subatomic particles, if you will, down into our primal juicy self, our gut-level self, so that we've got that mystical abundance grounded in our humanness. So like a tree with a root system. And as we all know, a tree is only as healthy as its roots. If the mystical is rooted in our human core, then the tree of our humanness has no choice but to be propelled forward, to be given life by that mystical root system. Gee, I even got way off track and forgot the rest of your question. Guide me, help me, save me, Edward.
You need no saving, Bill. I'm trusting in the mystical flow of this call.
Okay.
And what I would really love is if you would be interested, open to, willing to guide us in a process to bring that mystical, to bring our mystical heart, our mystical essence down into our core or something, you know, what is some process where you actually connect us to that mystical essence of who we are and allow that to hook up to our relationship with abundance.
Yeah, I would be honored to do that. I would adore doing that. How about if I say just a couple more things first, and then I'd love to. In fact, it felt to me when I said yes like that was the calling. In fact, I'll share another ridiculous story. All through the night last night as I was sleeping, I would wake up and notice these dreams I was having, and they weren't really dreams, they were experiences. And about halfway through the night, I realized, oh, this is all about that silly Abundant Mystic series I'm going to show up to when I wake up. That assumes I've awakened. And so what was happening through the night was this transmission, and I was sort of like living in this big abundant space, and it was cute. I was like, you know, like a little flower girl at a wedding, kind of throwing those little petals out. It was weird. I was just dispensing all this grace, all this abundance, all this love, all this abundance. But I want to say it this way. I was doing it in a way into all of you. This is the beauty of dreams. We can do anything in dreams. I was doing it in a way that just dissolved any sense of limitation, any sense of disempowerment, any sense of not good enough or not deserving enough, not whatever enoughness. So when I woke up at 4:40 a.m., when that was complete, I woke up and I looked at that and I looked at all of you, and I just expressed this little kind of prayer of gratitude, this little thank you to infinity and to grace and to light, or I should say to the source of all of that, that was I think, the setting of the stage for our precious sacred time here today. So I just wanted to mention that. And then the other thing I want to mention, I do remember now, you did ask the question, what was the turning point for me? This is not an inspiring response, by the way. But probably the biggest turning points were all the times that I failed as a regular human being. And trust me, there were lots of them. all the times that I would do things right. It's just like we were talking about with prosperity a little earlier.
Right.
And it didn't work. And so I, in a deep soul-searching way for a long time, I kept, you know, once I got past the what's wrong with me thing, which took a long, long time, and I got to a, well, gee, maybe there's something right with me and I'm just missing it, which I think for many of us would be the theme, so may I repeat it. Gee, maybe there's nothing wrong with me. Maybe it's that there's something about me I haven't yet discovered enough of. maybe back to abundance, maybe there's a prosperity. Maybe there's a pathway to abundance that's just different enough from, call it the norm or whatever, or for what works for 90% of everybody else, even though really it doesn't. But maybe if I just find that, and I discovered for me, and it happened one time. I remember one time in one of the businesses I had. It was a management consulting company, and my wife and I had this business together, and we were just about to get this national and probably international contract that would have made us rich forever. And everybody in this grand, huge, mega organization, everybody who was in the decision making was saying, your company has got this nailed. It is the most amazing program, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, only to get the call that the president of the organization gave the contract to his neighbor with whom he plays golf. And so I thought the story was just so ironic, it was just worth repeating. It's too cute. That was a big one for me. Somehow that symbolized, the potential of that business deal symbolized everything that could be. And not getting it symbolized equally the failure of that. So that was a huge turning point for me. I'll do another one. When I left my last paying job and went entrepreneurial, I basically went into great debt to buy a business and a private psychological practice that were combined in a whole different city, and got there only to discover that what looked marvelous on paper was not. And so I quickly went into debt after about 6 months or so. All the money was gone, you know, basically living on fumes. And fumes can be quite tasty, by the way, if it's the only thing in town. I just want to mention that just for the record, if somebody's keeping the record. But I was down to below nothing, and having this awful pain in my stomach day in and day out. And there were no options. There were no obvious options. So what I did is I just let go. I just let go. I just turned it all over to, in these days, I'll say my mystical nature. And sure enough, within a day, I got this call, this opportunity to set up a third office. And I thought, oh, man, I can't even afford to buy furniture for the office, let alone pay the rent. But something deep in me said yes, and I did that. And within 4 months, I was up to even. And within 4 more months, I was up to making money. And within 4 months after that, it was abundance time. So I'm telling the stories because for many of us, I think those big turning points come on the heels of seeming disaster, on the heels of failure. And so for me, failure, regular human failure, was this major door opener to my mystical nature. So from there, I don't know how to make this tangible because being mystically powerful is all about letting go. It's all about surrender. It's all about almost vacating all the human resources that we depend on, all the human orientations to security, safety, stability that we try to hold on to for whatever sense of equilibrium. And so I just did that and let go and let go and let go, and then specialized just because it's what showed up. I'm not bright enough to figure this out myself. I just specialized in what's a good way of saying it? Just totally, I don't have a good way of saying it, totally being light. And all of a sudden, I noticed I was hanging out mystically, spiritually, in this light field. And it was beautiful. It's the sort of the state we aim for when we meditate. And that was there pretty full time. And again, I'm making this sound like overnight, but it took a number of years. Then this inner voice, once I was, quote, established in light, said, this light is worth nothing to you unless it lives in every fiber of your humanness. And so I went through another number of years That's why I'm 382 years old, by the way. I just want to mention that. I went through another number of years where the divine took over, where light took over, where the human me didn't do it. All the human me did was just be open, be receptive, say yes, and then let go. And so I watched light. I watched it fill my body. I watched it fill my chakras. I watched it fill my primal self. I watched it go all the way down into my existential core, existential, where it's all about life versus death. It's about existence. And at that existential core is where the question is, how fully alive versus how only half alive, one-fourth alive, barely alive, am I choosing to be? And that's not a conscious level decision for the most part. It's a really unconscious level decision. And so I watched light go down there, and the more light filled that space, I noticed myself, strangely, being more willing to be here, more willing to be on Earth, because humanness for me, for the first half of my life, was the pits. It was I was not a happy camper, if you will. So I noticed myself coming alive, starting to feel alive, and as you, Edward, mentioned a little earlier, there's a lot of aliveness here. There's a lot of infinity lives here. And as light filled me, I noticed light was not just bringing me humanly alive, it was bringing me, how to say that, from a bigger dimensional, bringing me bigger dimensionally alive in a three-dimensional self. To this day, I feel not like a regular human being in the historical sense of the term, dualistically separate, etc., but I feel like I'm all of creation, all of everything, everything that ever could be. And it's all alive in here because I just let go and let go and let go. And again, it's betting the ranch, betting the farm on the amazingly abundant everything that's everywhere. So I would feel ready, unless you want to jump in here, and I'm totally happy for you to do it, Edward. I would be honored to lead us through a precious, sacred ritual of that light just downloading into our depths.
Yes, please do. So many questions, but I think they're not going to be answered any better than they will be when you guide us through the process.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, there's something to that. There comes a time, I have discovered, when, as valid as all the questions are, it's much more powerful if we just let go. So, and by the way, I want to say to each and every one of you, I am so honored to be spending this time with you. And while on the one hand I'm over here having a marvelous time and sort of playing teacher in a sense, I want you to know, on the other hand, I'm just in the depths of my being. I'm just wrapping my arms around your heart, and I'm just loving you, and I'm just letting you love me, and I'm just in the aura of our oneness, if you will. And just celebrating the enormously exquisite, beautiful being, and I guess I should say the abundant being that you are. And I think there's something so magical when we just let ourselves sit in the truth of each other, and like the truth of creation even, and just let ourselves celebrate that. So just as I have the privilege of celebrating this awesome, awesome being, person, that you are, I want you to know that I'm as honored as hopefully you are. So sit back and relax if you feel like it, and know that this is about grace, just taking over. This is about you not needing to do a thing, except maybe just let go. And then if you feel like doing something, then come back to, the one thing I can do is I can just let go more and let go more and let go more. And my words are going to be very much like background music, maybe verbal commentary. But the magic here in these moments is not in the words. The magic is not through the words. The magic is your and my and our shared mystical reality. It's our mystical nature. It's our mystical self. Just a whole month and a half or so ago, I did a retreat on being our mystical self. And there's a quote I came up with that I put as sort of the basis and the spirit of the retreat. And it says this: being fully grounded in our mystical nature is the foolproof key to living effectively, powerfully, and peacefully in our human skin. And so we just surrender. We just surrender to this amazing mystical being that we already are. And we let every bit of humanness in us, not just our mind, but our energy, our emotion, the depths of our consciousness, our bodies, we let everything that's a part of our human self, that's an integral ingredient in our three-dimensional world, we let everything just let go. Our body lets go. Our chakras all let go. They all surrender to this amazing, amazing light which science tells us fills 99.9% of our physical self. And not just our physical self, but every facet of us. So if you're a visualizer, feel free to visualize your whole being, your whole human form, filled with light. And if you're a feeler, feel light. Feel light everywhere in you, all the way from the top of your head down to that hara core of your humanness, down to your tippy toes, and down even further into the ground or the earth beneath you. Because in this moment, grace, that mystical, magical spokesperson, spokesbeing of endless and abundant infinity, is about to give each of us a precious, precious gift. Yes, it's the gift of who we already are, in the form this time of light, pure, radiant, dynamic, rich, powerful, abundant light. A light that knows no limits. A light that can only fill anything it touches, anything it moves itself into, anything it becomes. Fill it with its magical, mystical, all possibility-filled touch. Can you just begin now to feel the touch of light somewhere, anywhere, in you, through you, perhaps around you? Light, of course, being light, doesn't need to be physical. It doesn't need the sense of touch. But somehow, it moves through the multiply dimensioned universe in ways that right now translate as a touch. You are being touched. Just as certain beings through the history of the world have been touched by the divine, touched, given certain powers by their parents or by the authorities in various systems. Like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz had the mark of Glinda on her forehead because Glinda the Good Witch had touched her and made her special, made it possible for her to walk through the scary world of Oz with all of its potential dangers and land on her feet, on which were placed, those magic slippers, the symbol of abundant grace. We've let go, you and I. We've let go into this amazing force field of light. Light that in its endless consciousness, its all-knowing awareness, knows right now just how to come alive in your body, in your psyche, in your existential depths, in your chakras, in your primal, deep, gut-level nature, in your mind, in your aura, or that energy field space all around you. Can you see it, sense it, feel it, intuit it, know it? You are light, born as light, walking through whatever years of your life you've had thus far as light, whether conscious of it or not. And in this very moment, as in many others, that light, if it had a voice, is saying to you, I am you. I am you, and one, I ask you, as you let go into being me, let go into me, that you just drink me in, take me in, digest me, assimilate me, become me, so that you, as a human being, are light. And second, regardless of your letting go or the nature thereof, I am here just as a gift. And I am entering that special area of your humanness that has been afraid, that has been self-protective, that has been taking just one little step back, or that's been waiting. I'm here. And I bring myself, light, to you in enormous love. I love you. And whatever pain you've had has mostly been because you felt separated from the love of me, your mystical light. We are together again, like twins separated at birth, now reunited. I love you. I love you. And I will not leave you. I will not leave you. Come to me as often as you choose. Open to me. And notice how every time you do, I am there instantly in loving service of you, and to bring you not just the material abundance, but the heartful, relational abundance, the fun in life abundance, the full self, whole self abundance, the living in every moment in fullness abundance, the meant to be abundance and fullness of this human being, this human self, and this human world that you are. I bring all of that, and I have an endless supply of that abundance and those abundances. And as of this very moment, I unleash them in the core of your self. They are yours to keep They are installed in the hardware of your brain, in the soft tissue of your human core, in the depths of your human spirit, in the exquisite juiciness of your human heart, in the vibratory resonance of your human energies, in the exquisite beauty of your human self. They're yours. And I, now that I have dispensed them, am also yours. Not only shall I never leave, I shall always stay as your roots, as your ground, as your depth, as your truth, as your source of love. I'm here. I love you. And let's be light together. Let's be abundant together. Give me the task of abundance and enjoy the show.
That was so beautiful, Bill.
Thank you, Edward. Thank you. What a privilege for me.
I love, particularly when you, the whole thing was spectacular, but when you use the words twins separated at birth, that just resonated so much with me, this idea that we come into this world connected to this light, connected to this grace and this divine presence, this love, this abundance, and as we incarnate and gestate and are born and come into this world and learn, it's like this light is taught out of us. We are separated from it through experiences, through teachings, through traumas, through all kinds of things. And to have you guide us in this process to have this twin that really is part of us come back and more almost to remember that it's here, that it's always here, is such a gift, such a powerful, profound gift. So thank you so much for guiding us through that.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I love your commentary on it. That image strikes me exactly the same way, with the same punch in the depths of my being.
Wow. Ah. This is where, as the host, I have to snap out of it and come back.
it's the basic unfairness of life. It's what it is.
Yes, exactly.
True.
I want to get to sharing your package that you've put together. But before I do that, I want to share this comment from Agnes, who's in Warsaw, who writes, "My best wishes from Warsaw to the most amazing divine wizard in the world." I just so love that.
Actually, she pronounces her name Agnes.
Agnes, oh great.
Agnes, and I had the privilege of meeting her earlier this year when I was in London doing a seminar. You, Agnes, are the most wonderful being. Thank you. What a delight to reconnect with you.
Nice. And Colleen from Delaware wrote in, "Best call ever!" Exclamation mark. Bill is magical. So we're
actually, what you don't know is I paid these people ahead of time, Edward, to you have no idea how much it costs.
I paid them too, Bill.
Oh really? Oh my gosh. Thank you, Colleen. You are so sweet.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, let's definitely let people know about what you've put together here, this package. And this is if you just got a little taste of Bill here on this call, and gosh, what a wonderful taste. And there's so much more to dive into. So if you want to find out more and dive in deeper with Bill, if you want to follow along, you can go to theabundantmystic.com/Bill, and that will take you to the package that he's put together for you. And if you're on the Yes page, you can just click on the special offer there. Bill, we've got a whole bunch of things. We probably don't have time to dive deeply into all of them, but because this process you did so got us into touch with grace, maybe start with this, the first one, the audio and video of the Living with Grace.
Yeah. I've got about 10 of my writings, speeches, et cetera, that I've put together for you. I loved in it, Living with Grace. It's about a 40-minute presentation I did. It's both in video, DVD, and audio CD. And it's really about how to open to grace, how to invite grace, how to receive grace with the sense that grace is always there, just like light is always there. And it's just waiting to dive in. And so it's a very inspirational and experiential kind of presentation.
And in this process that you just led us to, it felt like you were guiding us into this place of grace. That's that letting go place where we hear the phrase let go and let God and let go and trust in, you know, the divine. And yet when it comes to that actual letting go and that connecting with grace, there's a hesitation, there's a holding back, there's a resistance, mm-hmm. there's fear. So can you just speak just briefly to, even when you told your story, you just very quickly, you said, you know, you after you lost that contract, or not that you lost it, but you didn't get it, you said at that point you let go. But what did that mean for you? Like, what did it actually look like to let go?
Well, for me, it was a culmination of any number of those things where something deep in me said, you know, Bill, doing this your way is really not working. So it was a sort of bottom line conclusion, and I was sort of on my bloody knees, if you will, brought to my knees, and there was nothing else. So for me, it was, every time I tried to hang on to my own human ground, my own human strength, my own human empowerment or whatever, it didn't work. So there was a clear conclusion at that point for me that made it easy. But I think if I go back to your implied question, Edward, I think the reason we hang on so much and the reason it's difficult to let go is that our fear, our concern is that, ooh, if I let go of the last bits of my human security and my human efforts, then I don't have security, and I'm dangerously floating out there in the universe somewhere, with not only no ground but no strength. So this is why I feel like the way the divine has put me together in these last years, it is to invite us to let go, but to have light insert itself in our core so that we can make a quick and hopefully easy shift from feeling grounded in our humanness to grounded in our light. And I remember for me the first time I sort of woke up and realized, oh my God, I'm not grounded in all the regular human stuff, I'm literally grounded in light. And then the next insight was, and it feels so much more empowered. So to be grounded in light, to be grounded in our mystical nature, is truly 2, 3, 5, 10 times much more powerful, much more empowering, much more grounding, much more security producing, there's the word, much more safety enhancing than to be grounded in any of the usual human self-protective mechanisms that we've got. But to make that leap, like if you notice what happened with each of us, without exception, even though some of us, you know, may take a few days to catch up to it, what happened with each of us is, ooh, that light went in and it literally replaced some, or in a few instances, all of that ground that leaves us feeling safe and secure. So I try to help that out, and I've just been given whatever gifts that allow that to be helped out, so that the whole process, not just of letting go, but of being all that we are, including abundance, doesn't have to A, take so long, and B, be so so brutal.
Yeah.
As we all know, growth can be a difficult path. Not that it is for anybody here, of course, but you probably read books about people.
Easy peasy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Speak to the other side of that, because I think for some people, especially mystics and seekers, I know I've had this experience of the letting go, the fear or the resistance to letting go is not so much about needing security. There's a question or a fear that fully letting go will lead to a space where there's such a detachment and a disconnection from the physical world that, you know, sort of, you know, the image of mystics who are off doing their own thing and people are feeding them because they're so in divine ecstatic union that they can't even feed themselves.
You know, that's a beautiful point, and it's a very common, if I may use the term and be daring enough to use it, misconception. Granted, there are those who do that, but I think for the most part, those who do that, who go way off and really don't care for themselves, the universe, to use that term, pretty much takes care of them in other ways. But aside from that, let's assume, and I think this is probably accurate, but what do I know? I haven't done the research. Let's assume that 99% of those who just do this total letting go don't wind up there. What happens, and I just feel really good about saying this for some reason, what happens is, well, I'll share it from me. The more I found that the more I let go, and I've done it in stages, almost all of us do, the more I let go, the more I, number one, felt lifted from, not dependent on, and free from this world, this human three-dimensional world. And number two, equally, felt even more here, more present, which defies linear thinking, if you will. Because linear thinking is either one or the other. Over and over, every time I let go in some big way, at least what showed itself to me, and I've seen it with lots and lots and lots of other people, is, ooh, I'm more gone than ever. Like, for example, it looks like I'm here. There's a whole me that totally does not feel like I am human or humanly alive. And there's a whole me equally and in the same space that is so much more here than I've ever been here. So much more engaged, so much more present, so much more alive, so having so much more fun. And just being the fullness of human because of the very fact that I also don't live here. it's weird. It makes no logical sense. But it's the mystical truth that the more mystical I am, the more human I am. And again, in 99 or whatever high percent of the cases, that's what happens. Because as we let go into the mystical vastness, then the truth, the wisdom, the dynamism, the possibilities of that mystical just come in to be with us more and more and more and more.
So it's really the being in the world but not of the world that comes into an actual experience as opposed to just the phrase that we kind of get.
Yes. For many of us, you know, we take that in a bit of a narrow sense. And it's interesting, at least the way I feel moved to be with us, because I feel like I'm talking to real mystics. regardless of, you know, whatever other facets of your life you've got, I don't think you would be listening to this series if there was not a strong mystical component. So I feel like saying, because even though it's not Sunday, this must be my preaching. See how I miss all that religion thing? So anyway, what I feel like saying is that the more you say yes to your mystical nature self, the more you let go into that, the more you allow that, the more you, like we fall in love, the more you fall into your mystical self, the more you just let go into that and melt into that. Take that, what used to be called on television, the nesty plunge into the waters of your mystical being. The more your life works, even if maybe for a month or two or three, it's like, oh no, I'm out here in this mystical realm. But it will come back without taking a whole bunch of time. And your human life is richer. And I believe the reason it is richer is because you're made for that. That's your created nature. Your human design is made to operate not according to the regular human rules, but according to the infinite rules. The problem with infinity is that there are no rules, although that's not a problem, actually. But there's possibilities in infinity. And so with all those possibilities, it's like anything can happen. And I'm sure you've all seen it happen any number of times in your lives. So thank you for allowing me that little bit of preaching. I feel so good about
beautiful.
That.
I love that.
Yes.
Speak about your book, Oz Power, because you mentioned Dorothy in the meditation that you were leading. And I just love when you talked about the mark of Glinda on her forehead and then the ruby slippers on her feet. It was just such a wonderful drawing together of the mystical, spiritual connection to the physical manifestation of abundance and safety. And that's one of the products that you have in this offer, this Oz Power book. And I would love to hear a little more about that as the metaphor that you're bringing in.
We used just the exact word, Edward. It's a metaphor. I think the subtitle is How to Click Your Heels and Take Total Charge of Your Life. I used it. Actually, I really felt like my mystical self grabbed me with that fairy tale and showed me everything that's in that book. So over several years, I just watched all these insights pop up. And really, I used Dorothy's coming to Oz and her journey through Oz as a metaphor for your and my life as we walk through Earth. We come to Earth, and it's a whole strange land, and all of a sudden it's all about duality, good witches, bad witches, etc. And so we walk the yellow brick road. Now, yellow is the color of the solar plexus. It's a very scary road. And in there she meets three people, of course, the Tin Man, if I only had a heart, the Scarecrow, if I only had a brain, and the Cowardly Lion, if I only had courage. And those are the three tools we're given to walk this life. If I only had a brain, consciousness, light. It's light. And if I had a heart, love. And if I only had courage, power. So light, love, and power. If we use the Christian mythology of the Trinity, there's Father, power, there's Son, love, and there's Spirit, light. So we're created in the image and likeness of the divine. We've got those tools. And so through the book, I help us see how in the form of those three characters, Dorothy gets through life only to discover. Now, here's the great thing about our mystical self. As mystics, we were born with those slippers on our feet. Whereas for, frankly, a lot of human beings who are all light beings as well, but their light is a little more the background, in the background of their being. It's the power behind their throne. But for us, it's right up there. So we were born with this mark of Glinda, born with these slippers on our feet. And our walking through Earth/Oz is just our opportunity to keep waking up more and more and more to this precious gift that was given us, and that to the degree we own it, we do it. And of course, again, with Dorothy, after she did all the right things, she even went out and killed that wicked witch of the West for the wizard, only to discover that the wizard's a fraud, again, failure, oh, now, sob, sob, I can't do anything. And Glinda shows up and says, oh, don't forget the slippers. And click, 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 there it is. And so I feel like for those of us who are mystics, we've got the key to full human living and abundant human living on our feet, in our heart, on our forehead, or especially after today, in our gut.
I love that. And I love that the power to take us home to our mystical nature is on our feet. It is in our connection to the earth. It's like we can't just dismiss our earthly nature and go back to our spiritual self. It's almost like it's through our connection to the earth that we can loop back around and remember and reconnect with that divine grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful. We don't have time to go into all of these, but there's just so much here. The Soul Vision ebook, the Soul Talk, they get a video and MP3 recording. And just to be clear, these are all digital products. There's no DVDs or CDs delivered. You can instantly access all of these from a content area, download them to your computer. And there's your book of poetry, The Soul in Love, where you both get the ebook and you get MP3s of you reading all of the poetry, and I've listened to a couple of those, and it's like you're transmitting the light and the grace as you read them. So just wonderful to have all of those files as well. And then New Way of Being and Looking at Life Through the Eyes of Love. It's a wonderful, wonderful package you've put together. Let me just read some more of the comments from people who've taken your programs and used these programs. This is from Anne Marie in Asheville. It says, it's impossible to imagine or describe the love, power, and blessing of Bill Bauman for humanity and the planet. You must experience him. And Diane in Alexandria, Virginia writes, I have read that all true masters radiate unconditional love, but until I met Bill Bauman, I had never experienced it. When I was unable to see my worth, Bill's insightful words opened me to the truth of who I really am. And that feels really true, Bill. You really are someone, I'm sure you've heard this many, many times, and I'm sure you will likely try to brush it off but or dismiss it somehow, but you really do have such a, it's like you have embodied unconditional love and this grace that you're sharing, and so you bestow it upon us through just your presence and your words and your processes, and it's such a wonderful gift to have you available and to have these programs and products available to get more of you when you're not available in person. And so just thank you so much for... Yeah.
Oh, you're so welcome, Edward. And I want to say it's been a total joy just partnering with you in this. It's been just an exquisite love fest between the two of us. And if I may, I just want to say to everybody else, what a privilege it is and has been to share this sacred time with you, but just to be able, you know, it's part of that unconditional love that Edward was talking about, just to be able to share the utter beauty of your being with you and to celebrate you. And I, you know, that's part of the side effects, if you will, or after effects of being mystical for me, is that I get to look at every human being, just the kind of like I look at every tree or every star in the sky, and I see this utter beauty. And that's been my experience here, just the exquisite light-filled beauty of you. And to see that not just in your mystical self, but in every itsy-bitsy facet of your human self as well. So what a joy it has been for me to be able to celebrate you and honor you in a way that you more than deserve. So thank each and every one of you.
Thank you, Bill. I have a feeling we're all going to be resonating with this for some time as the the true depth of what you shared with us today really percolates and gestates and integrates in our beings. It's going to have far-reaching impact. So thank you for being here with us today on this Abundant Mystic series.
Oh, you are so welcome. And thank you again. The pleasure and the privilege is mine at least as much as everybody else's. So thank you. I love you all. I bless you all. I would just keep holding you in my cute, adorable little heart till we connect again. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everyone. What an amazing being. What an amazing gift to have Bill here with us today, sharing his wisdom, his insights, his love, the grace that he carries with him, and transmit that to us and through us. And wow, what a gift. If you want to go deeper with Bill, I highly, highly recommend it. Go to theabundantmystic.com/Bill, theabundantmystic.com/Bill. That will get you to his special offer page. Or if you're on the Yes page, just click on that special offer link there, and that will take you there. Bill's replay will be available in a few hours, so if you want to listen again and take in more of his brilliance and unconditional love, you can listen on the replays page, and that will be up for the next few days, so you'll have a chance to really take it in. And what a wonderful week, this Thanksgiving week, to be able to access Bill and his wisdom and his energy. So again, that will be up on the replays page later this afternoon. All right, everyone, I so thank you and appreciate you. It's such a blessing and an honor to be with you and to have you journeying with me and with all of us as we move deeper and deeper and expand more and more fully into true abundance on this Abundant Mystic series. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We will be back tomorrow with Christy Marie Sheldon, and then Thursday we have the day off for Thanksgiving. And again, thank you so much. I will speak to you again very, very soon. Bye-bye for now, everyone.